Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy, they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor K.D. Tony coming to you this evening from the Lighthouse Teen Ministries Chapel. All of you that will, join with me. You got a friend that needs to hear the word, give them a call, see if you can get them in. We're going to be dealing this evening with 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. We're going through 1 Corinthians, and we've gotten this far. We found out a lot of things that we usually, it's not things that we didn't know, only for a few of us that don't read the Bible. But for those that read, they've read over it probably several times. But just keep forgetting it. Because unless you really live day by day by the Word, there's a lot of it that we just don't pay a lot of attention to. We don't really stop and think about it. We think about what God would want from each of us in our lives. Because you see, there came a time when mankind had gotten far away from Him because they wouldn't obey the law He had given. To them, it was an impossibility for them to keep, so they thought. But God doesn't give us nothing we can't do. A lot of times He gives us things that we don't want to do, or we don't know how to do, and we won't go to Him to find out. Because you see, when He gives us a call to do something, He will equip you to do it. He'll give you the knowledge to do it, and He'll give you the power and the equipment that it takes to get that job done. But you've got to put your trust and your belief and faith in Him, not in things of this world or mankind or yourself, but in Him. We don't know why sometimes it takes a long time for God to do something for us or with us. And we wonder about it. But that's when you need to really be careful and watch what comes in your mind and what you do with it. Just as, you know, there's times that I think, because I've been going through this now for quite a while, and there were times I was wondering, Lord, I know that you're going to take care of it, but why are you waiting so long? Well, I don't know his reasons, but he's got his reasons. And he'll take care of it when the time's right according to him. But I do have peace because I know one thing, that I don't go through it by myself. I have the Holy Spirit with me, and I have the Lord our God with me, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't really need any more to make it through. Is it something that's fun? No. But you know, through all of it, when it comes down to being painful, there's been no pain. I've not carried any pain at all. Got a lot of things bugs me as we speak. A lot of drainage in my throat that makes me cough and sometimes makes it hard for me to talk, which some of you have heard different times as I speak even. But they're always there, and we get through whatever it is that he has called upon me to do. So we're going to be going now to the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the first verse. We'll begin there. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife has not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission, and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which has a husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Fear not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servant of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy for the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man to be so to be. Are thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loose. Are thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this, his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forth to bring to you and I the truth of this, his word, that God would have us to receive this day and to refresh our hearts and memories, to help us to live better day to day here in this world. so that we will be ready to meet him when we step across into eternity. Once again, we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. As we back up here, there's a couple of things here. And a couple of places where I've read that man has twisted and turned around to make it say the things he wants it to say instead of reading the rest of it to see what it was all about. Now we back up here, this verse 1. It says, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Paul was not married. And that's why he tells us, as we were reading there, that he'd like for all men to be as he was, which was single. But he's also giving us really a truth, because he knows that you and I are not as strong as he was. And most of mankind cannot dwell that way. Most of us can't be by ourselves or just with others and not have someone as a helpmate with us. He goes on now here in verse 2, he says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. You know, God's word tells you and I, and I'm speaking now to those that seek a wife. He tells us how to look, and he also tells us of those that you and I cannot have. How many's ever really studied that? Really studied to see how many it is and who they are that we cannot have. Let's go to Numbers 19. I'm going to share with you. Well, no, that ain't what I wanted. Let me try one more here. Well, I'm going to have to find this later. I thought I knew where it was, but evidently I got a little off on it. Anyway, we'll get back here to 7. I will find it and share it with you. Maybe we can do that Sunday morning or Sunday evening. Well, Sunday morning, I'm going to see if I can't get my associate to preach for me Sunday morning. And I'll be back Sunday night. But anyway, we will get to it. Because I was just in it couple of evenings back where he tells us all about the ladies we have to leave alone and why. Now, he comes on here in 3, verse 3. He says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Those that are, of us that are married, we are not to use sexual morality against each other to make them do our bidding. And that does happen, and happens real frequent, and among a lot of people. We're told not to do that. It says the wife has not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. And we all know, all of us that have ever been married or that are married, we do know just how true that is. But they can make us at times really want them when we wasn't even thinking about it. Just as we can do the same thing to them. But we're not to use that against each other. And he tells us that in verse 5. He goes on to tell us, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinencies. We're not to withhold things. As I just said just a few minutes earlier, to get someone to do something that they really don't want to do. And that's what he's telling us here. But all of us that's married, we know of nights where headaches have stopped things in our bedroom. Don't we? We all know. But that's not supposed to be done. We're supposed to sit down and talk things out and come to an agreement. In verse 6, he says, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. He goes on here in 7, he says, for I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. In other words, Paul would rather we'd all be single as he is. Then he goes on here to give us the reason for that and for his way of thinking. But he knows that we're not going to be that way. That we all, we're just not made like that. God didn't make us that way. Now, he's letting us know that we all have our proper gift. I was married, a young man. And I know that there was nothing wrong about it. And I lost my first wife, a young lady. My first wife was 55 years old and she passed away. But God gave me my second. We talk about, you know, well, why didn't you just, you had a wife, why didn't you stay single? Because that wasn't God's plan even for me. He gave me my second wife. When I first saw her, in person, God spoke to me and told me, said, she's yours. I wasn't looking for one at that time. I was not looking for one. And I told him so. I told him, I said, I'm not looking for one. He said, she is yours. Well, he knew what he was talking about. And 3 days later, we were engaged. And a month and a half later, we were married. And we've been together now 30 years. God knew. And he had his reason for it. I'm living some of that reason right now. And I know that. Now, you come on down here to 8, and he says, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. Once again, he's talking about staying single. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. In other words, you can't behave yourself sexually, morally, then you better marry instead of burning. Doing things single that you're not supposed to be doing. We've got married couples right today. And we've got them in church. If they're married and been married, some of them for a good many years. And yet they're living in adultery. They don't have to. I know several couples that are living that way, and they'll say, well, you know, before we found out that this wasn't supposed to be according to your old way of thinking, that's what they'll say, your old way of thinking. It's not my way of thinking, it's in the Word. But we've been together so long, and now it's my responsibility to take care of her to an extent that's true. But you're also told how to do it. And you can do it and do it God's way and still feel your responsibility in taking care of her. Just as she can feel her responsibility in taking care of you. You see, the bad side of that and the sin side of that stops when you stop seeing and having each other's nakedness. That's what's wrong. That don't mean you can't love her. That don't mean you can't keep her and see that she has a place to live, she has clothes to wear, she has food to eat. And that you're working and walking with her and the Spirit. But you're keeping you and her both clean spiritually. He gave you a way out. But I've had several tell me, oh, I just can't do that. Yeah. They can, they just don't and won't. And yet, they're not hurting just themselves. They're hurting others when they make any such decision. Verse 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. They're telling her not to leave. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried. or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. You see, he's telling both. You don't go out here and get these divorces and put them away. We'll find out why here in just a little bit. Hopefully, that God will let us get that far. Now, verse 12, but to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Because you may be a child of God, and your wife isn't, he's letting you know that you shouldn't put her away. Because in putting her away can cost both of you. Because it can lead you both into adultery or a very lonely life, one or the other. And the woman which has a husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. You see, as you go on, you hold on to that one that does not believe, and you go on living your life by the word of God and with the Lord Jesus Christ, they see this, and then the Holy Spirit works on them, and eventually they will turn around. I can give you an example, and I'll use myself and my wife. My first wife passed away. My wife's husband, he passed away too before her and I met. So we were both widows when we met. But she had became a woman of God long before he passed away. She'd go to church on Sunday, but she couldn't get him to go. No, he would not go. She got the children going to church. When her and the children began living this life there with him, watching them. So one Sunday she gets up and gets around her and the children, getting the children ready to go to church. And she sees him changing clothes and she asks him what he was doing, and he told her, he says, you know, I think I'll go with you this morning. And he did. And he kept going. He kept going. He met the Lord Jesus Christ. He became a believer. He became a deacon in the church. Was living a godly life and lived that way until the day he went home to be with God. You see, that's how our lives can affect others. Sometimes we don't believe it, and others will tell us, oh, you ought to get away from that. You ought to get away from that. No. God tells us how to live. And if you're actually living his word and you're living it in front of those that are not, eventually the Holy Spirit, through your life and through his working with them, can change their life and will. Now, Here in verse 15, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart, a brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. Now they are those today, even at our church, that has taken these next few verses and twisted them around to make excuses for divorcement and remarriage. But that's not what this is about, as we'll see. Now, verse 16, for what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called to being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Pardon me. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ, once you give your life to him, and he comes in, and the Holy Spirit comes in with you, and you become that born-again child of God, you have been freed. You have been freed from the life of this world out here. You have been set free of sin. And you're to walk that way and stay that way. Now, you are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Don't serve mankind. You're supposed to be serving the Lord Jesus, the Almighty God. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that is good for a man so to be. Pardon me. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Now you see what I want you to pay close attention to what I read here in these two verses. But if they marry, thou hast not sinned, and if the virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. You see, they use those two verses to say, see, the Lord's telling you that if you're loose from a wife, you're divorced from your wife, it's all right for you to remarry. That's not what he's telling you here. He's talking about two different things. He's telling you not to seek a wife, to look for one. Here in 28, he says, but and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. You see, he's taking you back to where when he was talking to you about walking as single and the woman as being a virgin. We all know a married woman's not a virgin. But this is what he's talking about. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if the virgin marry, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. If they have took that, And we've got that going on in so many of our churches today. Just letting people know, oh, it's all right for you to be committing adultery and living an adulterous life. But you're still saved. No, you're not. And they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Now he tells us why these things are. If you're single, as Paul was, he's got nothing pulling him away from that, flesh-wise, really. And no excuse, even. But he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. We all that are married know how that goes, don't we? We know we've done things. It may not really have been sin, but we know it wasn't really something that was good in the sight of God. Because we could have done something much better instead of what we've done. Just in pleasing them. Now, 34. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And most work just that way. And we all know that. He goes on here at 35 and he says, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not. Let them marry. You're dating a woman and she's a virgin, and she becomes of age to where it is legal in God's eyes, then you can marry. Now, and that's not a sin. But he goes on to tell us here, he says, nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. He still wants mankind to live their life as he was living his, without being married, but yet keeping everything straight and with God. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. If you can keep things straight, keep your life better, then according to him, that's better. But we all have things that we differ. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to marry to whom she will, only in the Lord. Now her next marriage better be in the Lord. So she better be looking at a good man, the man of God, But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. He said she'd be better if she didn't remarry and just stayed single. But she don't sin if she does. But he knows that there is certain troubles that will come along. After my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. And may the Lord truly add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forward and help us as we close out with prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that you open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to this your word. And I pray that the Holy Spirit is strong enough within each of us to keep us on that pathway of righteousness and upon the pathway, Father, that you are calling each of us as we pass through this life. Use us, Father, according to your will and your way and not ours. Just as your son prayed there in the garden, Father, your will be done and not mine. And help us here, Father, with this church. Father, we know that you don't want to see the church closed, and neither do we. And we know also, Father, that it's going to take you and the Holy Spirit to give us the increase to bring others in. Work with each one of us, Father. Help us to reach out to those around us to bring them into the church to hear your word. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we know some of them walks in danger that if caught in, with your gospel will mean imprisonment and death in a lot of places in the world today. Holy Spirit, keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. And for Jerusalem and Israel, Father, they're your people. We pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we know that they at one time rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for them to accept Jesus as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. In this land of ours, Father, that has turned its back and walked so far away from him without any excuse whatsoever, had no excuse. But we had those, Father, working to take him out of every place he was in, starting with our schools. And we had those in office, Father, that are against him, against your church, and against your people. Help us with this next election to remove them from office, Father, and to replace them with those that will work for you and work to put the Lord Jesus Christ back into the places he's been taken out of. And work with us, Father, to bring this nation to repentance and to put our government back upon the foundation which it was founded, that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is spoken, Holy Spirit, touch them. Touch them with thy mighty power. Fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, myself, our families, Father. We all have family members that are not saved, not walking with Jesus. Help us, Father, to reach those. And may the Holy Spirit be working with us and them to turn them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. Now, Father, Mark Pavlik Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, Terry Coates, Lord, Dennis Breed and his wife, Tina, brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg. All of these, Father, they all need a touch of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Make them strong, Father. Strong in faith. Strong in spirit. Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg. Brother Meade County General Baptist Church. The pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Pastor Eric, his wife Jackie. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron. Father, these churches, not only lighthouses, but make them a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. These pastors, Father, fill them to overflowing with the Holy Spirit to lead these churches according to your word and not the ways of this world or the ways of mankind, but according to your word and the Holy Spirit. For my three friends overseas, Father, there in Pakistan, Maroon Islam, Barak Mishai, Zephyrin Aaron, watch over them. Keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. For the Johnson family, Father, I pray for that whole family. I pray for the daughter right now, Father, that's in the hospital. They say she's got cancer in the fourth stage. And she's not going to make it. But, Father, we know you can handle anything. Her mother and I stand together and asking you, Father, touch her. Bring about a healing, Father, that will shake that whole hospital. Let them know that you are stronger than men, than mankind, with thy healing power. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombello and her mother, for Sue and for David, for Palin Goodman, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen. These all stand in need, Father, of a healing hand. Touch them mighty and greatly, Holy Spirit, with that healing power that comes from the stripes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Touch them in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, everyone, remember, come Sunday morning, God willing, we can all be together again and back into his word. So until then, walk with God and he'll walk with you. Have a great few days. Bye-bye now.